Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, March the 8th. No, it's Monday, March the 11th. Did I get that right? Yeah, it's the 11th. No, excuse me. It's the 10th. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I got it right. The Buckmaster Show is live each weekday from noon to 1 right here on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere by visiting buckmastershow.com. We're going to begin with our Monday political face-off. Today we have with us Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen. 30 minutes past the hour, former Congressman Jim Colby will join us. We're going to talk about the 20th anniversary of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Then we'll close out the show with Dr. Mark Sykes of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Every Monday we do kick off the show with the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is here. Mr. Ash is in his third term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. And Don Jorgensen, who is the chair of the Democrat Party of Pima County. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Don and Bruce, how are you gentlemen today?
Very good. Nice to see you, Bill.
Good to see you again. Did you have a good weekend?
It was nice. I was actually at a national conference here in town, so I had to great time with friends from around the country and, as we were saying, even from Canada.
Yeah, very nice. Bruce, and you are doing some gardening, is that correct?
According to your Facebook page.
Yeah,
I went to Green Things and saw our friend Phil Cedar and mm-hmm. bought some lovely hydrangeas and got them going on my front porch. So I'm very, very happy about that. And the only thing that spoiled the weekend was a bitter defeat by the University of Oregon Ducks, but, you know, the Cats will live to fight another day.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that tomorrow on the show with Anthony Jimeno, and he, of course, covers Wildcat sports, but whether or not this will affect, I think they'll still be probably the number one seed. That's pretty much taken for granted, isn't it, gentlemen?
They have to perform in the Pac-12 tournament. If they were to go out early, that could create a problem. I sure hope they stay out west. The San Diego regional would be great. It'd almost be like having a home game. I'd feel like we were Duke or something, you know, being able to have a home game just up the freeway.
The Tucson Unified School District is looking at creating a Cesar Chavez week. I think it could be later in March or something, last week of March. They're thinking of that designation. And, of course, the Tucson City Council, by a unanimous vote last week, got on board with, I think, about 30 other cities across the country in creating a holiday, a paid holiday, in the case of the city of Tucson, for the late farm worker leader, Cesar Chavez. And Bruce Ash is still burned about this. Is that safe to characterize it that way?
Well, I don't know if I'm burned. It certainly seems to be an inappropriate way to honor one of the greatest leaders in the labor and human rights movement of the second half of the 20th century. Don's a little younger than me, but, you know, I think we generally reflect the times that we grew up in when we remember mm-hmm. just the unbelievable presence of Cesar Chavez and the things that he did. And right here, I actually met Chavez in a Safeway, believe it or not, outside of Safeway here mm-hmm. here in Tucson. Oh, gosh, it's got to be 30 or 35 years ago. And what a great American. And the problem really with what the city council did is that it appears that In view of the city's financial problems, this is the 11th paid municipal holiday. They actually had discussed different ways of handling this as unpaid or handling it somehow, you know, with your personal leave and so on. But no, they decided on a 7-0 vote, in spite of all the other problems that exist here in Tucson, that they were going to show the world what a great city Tucson was and give their employees another paid holiday. $500,000 per year projected costs forever. This was a self-indulgent, narcissic move on their part.
Don Jorgensen, what do you think about it?
Well, I'm glad you're not burned about it, Bruce.
No.
With that last
I'm over it. I'm on to it. Hey, I want Tesla to come to Tucson. I'm all for that.
Well, there you go. It obviously, it is yeah. right, as the city council said and as the city manager said, to recognize this great American in this way. And it goes well beyond just $500,000. And the city manager acknowledged that that will be absorbed into the budget in some way. It's his job to find a way, but that was part of the research in going through it. Even more, it does send a message about the city of Tucson, and I think it sends a critical message, especially in light of the embarrassments that Arizona has endured the past several years from the bad press from 1070, viewed as anti-immigrant, anti-minority, and then recently the national attention to 1062. So not only does it honor a great civil rights leader, it also sends the message that Tucson is friendly and recognizes not just the value of this great man, but the value of recognizing all of these cultures and populations that play such a role in our community.
You know, Cesar Chavez cared about the American worker, and I can't help but imagine how upset and unnerved he might be, knowing that it's likely that here in the city of Tucson, policemen, firemen, and EMTs, and this is where the city has so frequently decided to cut services, these jobs are on the line. And whether it's these first responders or not, there will be people who lose their jobs as a result of this. There will be people who lose key critical services as a result of this. Or it may be, and again, I think Cesar Chavez would be very upset to learn this, that somebody had done a holiday, a paid holiday in his honor. If poor people who otherwise don't have the means are forced to pay higher fees and other things just in order to make up for this $500,000 indulgence courtesy of the city council.
You know, I always have to scratch my head when, on the one hand, Republicans talk about wanting smaller government, and when you see smaller government occurring with attrition and with reducing the size because many won't vote for increased necessary revenues for city government, then complain when it results in job layoffs. That's what reducing government is about, and that's what happens. In this case, again, we're looking at honoring someone in a way that gets the recognition in a way that's deserved. I'll also point out that the city council has asked that Tucsonans see that Cesar Chavez Day as a day of service to the community, as another way to honor his great legacy.
Don, it's a great spin. Don, I appreciate it. I think, though, that the problem is not, as Jonathan Rothschild has said many times, a revenue problem. The problem is that the size of this government is too high. Unfortunately, though, for the people who live within the city of Tucson and have to depend upon Tucson police officers who do a magnificent job, notwithstanding the fact that there's about 20 or 25% less of them than there were 8 or so years ago, and less firemen and less EMTs. Unfortunately, we have to put up with fewer services and response times suffer. That's not limited government. That's unresponsible government, a la our friends in Detroit who don't even bother calling cops or fire departments anymore.
Don Jorgensen is here, and Bruce Ash. We're talking about Cesar Chavez being honored with a paid holiday in the city of Tucson. And Don and Bruce believes that this is going to cost some police and fire. Let's hope it doesn't.
Well, that's always the threat. When a city is looking at reducing the budget, is starting with public safety, and it's always the case that public safety is never reduced. Yes, there are additional costs.
It has been reduced, Don. I beg your pardon. And that's the first thing that this city administration has been doing for the last 10 years. I'm sorry, I disagree with you.
Well, by the same token, you can't continue to ask for smaller government, ask for cuts, without finding ways to replace the revenue in some reasonable ways. It has to come from one place or another. We have a problem with the state legislature not replenishing the HERF funds, for example, that will assist the cities in doing the kind of road repairs and upkeep that's necessary. They're required to pay more as a result of that.
We're playing the HERF fund card right now. Don,
well,
on,
it's a reality. That's a non-starter. That's what's taking money from the cities that was there in the past, and you can't...
That's your story, and I'm glad you're sticking to it.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. We have Terry with us. Terry, you're with Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Gentlemen, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks.
I want to say this, that there's plenty of great Americans, because we don't have the money to allocate to these great individuals, men and women, who deserve also a paid holiday, but the list will go on and on. Let's give the $500,000, shall we, gentlemen, to the needy kids that need a better education, and also the missing equipment in the schools, thanks to the instruction people. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Terry. Don Jorgensen.
Well, you're speaking to my point that those are the result of the cuts from the state legislature, who have cut millions and millions over the past several years from the education budget. That's where it has come from, not from the city budget. And so I agree with you that those need to be replaced, and I suggest you call your state legislature to say that enough is enough, that we need to put the education of our children and invest in the education of Arizona's children as a priority. That's not just for education's sake. That's for the investment in the future of our state to attract businesses who look for the quality of the education system first, along with the quality of life issues. And that's where the attention needs to go back, to hold those state legislators who vote to cut education funding again and again responsible for those votes.
All right, we're going to take a break right here, 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Don Jorgensen is here, and Bruce Ash will be right back.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Whether you shower, clean, or drink it, you will come in contact with water every day. So the question is, how often do you think about what's in your water, and how is your water affecting you and your loved ones? The fact is, there are likely contaminants in your water that will have an effect on the taste and smell of the water, not to mention why water is chlorinated. The good news is that Culligan has a solution. The Culligan AC30 reverse osmosis drinking water system is the powerful solution for filtering out impurities that affect your water. This state-of-the-art solution reduces chlorine and other contaminants that affect the taste and smell of your water. Of course, some contaminants may not be in your water. Why not take your drinking water to the next level with a Culligan drinking water system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months service on an annual rental agreement? Call 792-9700 for details. That's 792-9700, or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.? Well,
flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off. Our commentators today, Bruce Ash is here and Don Jorgensen, and we are talking about Cesar Chavez, the late farm worker leader who will have a paid holiday named for him here in the city of Tucson. Back to the live line, Wayne. Wayne has a comment or question for Don and Bruce. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, hi, Bill. What is the date that this holiday is going to be on? What day?
What day will it be? I do not know.
It starts in 2015, and it's, I want to say either March 30th or 31st.
Okay. Well, I talked with a retired TPD officer, and he told me that historically the TPD officers have been warned off on having holiday time in March, mainly because of all the things that go on here in town. And what he said is that the police union did not support this particular holiday, mainly because of the cost. It's not going to be $500,000, but with all the overtime involved, with all the events that happen around here, it could be as much as $1 million or maybe more.
That's a great point. I hope if that's the case, Wayne, that that's something that might be modified if the city council is hell-bent to keep the holiday in place. But I didn't know that, but that certainly is sort of frightening to understand.
Well, I wonder about that because we have a city manager, Richard Miranda, who's the former chief of police, and I certainly have known former Chief Miranda a long time, understands all of that, understands all that goes into preparing the budget and accounting for it. So I would be surprised if that wasn't already accounted for.
Our Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Let's switch gears here. Don Jorgensen, Charlie Crist, the former Florida governor, who was a Republican and now is a Democrat. He wants to be governor again. He said over the weekend, okay, Democrats, time to, as he said, straighten up, take ownership of Obamacare.
Exactly right. This is the second time comment, he's shown good judgment, one, changing parties, and second, talking about the fact that Obamacare is succeeding. It is working. Just today, the report came out that it's achieving one of the goals, which is to reduce the number of uninsured Americans. It went from over 17% to 0.9% just since it began. Over 4 million now are insured for the first time. just through the federal site, the healthcare.gov. That doesn't even include the numbers who have received insurance for the first time through the Medicaid expansion. It's working. It is providing that kind of care and coverage to folks who either could not afford it previously or were denied by their insurance companies for pre-existing conditions or other reasons. It is succeeding. It is continuing to grow. And
so your advice to Democrats
is be proud.
Take ownership.
Take ownership of it. It's a success.
All right. Bruce Ash.
Dong belongs to the Democrat Suicide Club, which is doggedly sticking to their line that it's succeeding and everything's fine as the ship is headed toward the end of the earth. The fact of the matter is, if Obamacare was working so well, why would there have been nearly two dozen significant delays and changes in its implementation?
There's nothing wrong with trying to get it right and improvements to the law as you go, Bruce. Well, nothing often starts out perfect, no matter which party it comes from. You know that.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, the president has had plenty of opportunities to fix Obamacare legislatively, even doing some of the delays that he has imposed. However, he's not interested in working with Congress. Congress has actually passed bipartisan legislation in the House to do some of these things. He's refused to have those bills heard in the Senate. I think a lot of Americans, and I think it's right to ask this question, Don and Bill, a lot of Americans are very curious why the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House have passed these regulations and are not subject to them. They've taken a carve-out that the president gave them. There have been multiple opportunities to run legislation, and we always hear excuses why it hasn't happened, and most of that coming from the Senate Majority Leader. This is the same Senate Majority Leader, the Democrat Majority Leader, who last week complained about all of those liars who are lying about Obamacare. This is the same Democrat leadership who has passed laws which consider all Americans living and working abroad to be tax cheats. Otherwise, they wouldn't be imposing the sorts of privacy restrictions on them
Let's get off the rails a bit. Let me bring it back to Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act. What the president was doing, obviously, was something that used to occur in the Senate and House, and that's called compromise. But that seemed to become a foreign notion within the GOP House. And some of those bills that were passed through from the House had poison pills in them that couldn't be accepted in a reasonable plan. You know, there's this myth that Obamacare needs to be fixed. It doesn't need to be fixed any more than any other law needs, especially healthcare work, needs to be fixed. It needs to be improved over time based on what you learn through experience. And that's what's happening. Meanwhile, millions and millions of Americans are having the opportunity to become healthier for the first time, to manage their health, which relates to the ability to continue working, to improve their working situations and opportunities because they're no longer tied to an employer simply to get health care. So it is changing society in many, many ways that go beyond just having the coverage.
And you would urge local candidates to also take ownership.
Well, of course. Yeah. Again, in Arizona, we were fortunate that our legislature and the governor passed Medicaid expansion here. So there is the opportunity for many more Arizonans to get that coverage. And not only should legislators support it, they should assist and advocate for these individuals to become aware and get that coverage. And one point I want to make about that, Bill, because there's a lot in the news right now that signing on to Obamacare this year ends March 31st, and that's true unless you have a change in status. There is no deadline for signing on to the state Medicaid expansion. You can continue to do that at any time.
Bruce, is this music to your ears as a Republican?
I pray to God that Ron Barber and Kirkpatrick, Kirsten Sinema, who are the other guys that represent you in the Congress? Ed Pastore is going away. You know Raul Grijalva is going to support it. He's basically setting up a Marxist state. But all kidding aside, I mean, really and truly, if that's the campaign mantra that you want to have, you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
That they support the poor and uninsured? Absolutely.
No, what they support is developing a government state where when the Government has more. The people really do have less. And the government that can give you all of this can take it away, too. You know, it was just last week that the government, the administration, decided that they wanted to take away key provisions in the Senior Advantage program from seniors. Now, you know, not even the Republicans, who have been wrongly accused of dumping Granny over the cliff, Don, have ever tried to take benefits away from seniors who have these programs. Oh. And it's Republicans who've been talking to Democrats for an awfully long time to try to fix Medicare, to try to fix Social Security in the people's 30s and 40s before it's right up on top of them. But the Democrats don't want to have that discussion.
Well, Bruce, I'll give you, you're the spin master. I'll give you credit.
All right, let's see if we can work Richard in. We are out of time, but I do want to be accommodating here. Richard, you are on the Buckmaster Show. Quickly.
Thanks, Bill. My existing policy with Blue Cross, it's $10,000 deductible policy. I'm happy with it. I'm losing that. It's $309 a month. The new policy with Blue Cross, and it's called an essential policy, will be about $560 a month. Now, if I pursue a subsidy, sadly, my income is just low enough to be qualified for a subsidy right now, then I will lose both of my existing doctors right now, my GP, who I've been with for 25 years,
okay,
and my dermatologist, who I go to regularly for skin cancer. They are both not going to be taking what they call community patients.
All right.
The biggest lie in the last 25 years, if you like your medical plan, you can keep your medical plan.
And
if
the
you
other
like
lie
your doctor,
is,
you can keep your doctor, and this will cost less.
All right. The other lie is that Obamacare has anything to do with private insurance companies raising the insurance
it's all
costs
happened
on their policies.
Of Obamacare.
That's what they did. And what this gentleman now has
because
is
of
all kinds of alternatives.
Now you want to blame
that's
the
baloney.
Private insurance company.
Private insurance has increased 17% on average each year. Insurance premiums are going down as a result of Obamacare. That's the fact.
Don Jorgensen, thank you very much for coming in today. We appreciate it, Don. Thanks a lot.
Thank
you, Bill.
And
Bruce Ash, always good to see you. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985. Check out Moe for all of your custom frame mirrors, the art for your walls. They'll take care of all the hanging services. And best of all, they do the best framing in town. Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgowrie.com and on Facebook. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of Metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This year marks the 20th anniversary of the North American Free Trade Agreement, known as NAFTA. Jim Colby represented Southern Arizona in the House of Representatives from 1985 to 2007, and he was a key lawmaker behind NAFTA. Congressman Colby is now a fellow at the German Marshall Fund, a nonpartisan American public policy think tank and grant-making institution dedicated to promoting greater cooperation between North America and Europe. Congressman Colby joins us now from Washington on the Buckmaster Show Liveline. Congressman, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Bill. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk with you again. Has NAFTA delivered, Congressman Colby, what was promised?
Well, yes, it has. I mean, I would agree with some of those who have been the opponents of it, who said that it was overpromised, and I think that's true of a lot of trade agreements. Sometimes the proponents overpromise and the opponents promise too much of the bad things on the other side. But overall, there's no question about it. NAFTA has been a huge success. You had a quadrupling, a 400% increase in the amount of trade between the United States and Mexico in the last 15 years, and that's much greater than we've experienced with countries that we don't have trade agreements with. So it's been very, very substantial. And I think one of the important things also to look at is that for every dollar that Mexico exports to the United States or some other country, 40 cents of that export dollar is actually coming from the United States. In other words, it's parts, it's components, it's services that come from the United States that goes into the manufacturing of that good. So we're benefiting both ways, not only from directly selling our goods to Mexico, but also from the goods that they're selling back to us, or selling to China, or selling to Europe. that'll have a lot of the American components in it. That's the economic side, but I think the political side is just as important. It clearly has helped to bring about much greater stability in Mexico, political stability. You have a thriving two-party system in Mexico, and I think it's been a plus all the way around for all three of the countries. We don't want to leave Canada out of this.
And the big knock on NAFTA 20 years ago, and of course the famous quote, there would be the giant sucking sound of jobs going to Mexico. Has that happened?
Of course not. It hasn't happened. We've created more than 4 million jobs in the United States since NAFTA was created. Are there winners and losers? It doesn't matter whether you have a trade agreement. There are winners and losers in globalization as the world changes, and some things are manufactured in one place more efficiently, more productively, and jobs do change. But we have created a lot of jobs, and a lot of those jobs have been created by NAFTA, for NAFTA, with NAFTA.
How about the political stability in Mexico? Has that been a possible benefit from NAFTA?
Well, it sure has. I mean, you start with the fact that in the year 2000, for the first time, the opposition, the PAN party, was elected a president. That's the first time since the revolution in the 1920s that the opposition party had ever won anything significant, and they won the big one. They won the presidency. They won it again in 2006, and then in 2012, it went back to the old party, if you will, to the PRI. But the PRI is now a different, very different party that has been much more modernized and much more has a lot of new and young blood in it, as we've seen with President Peña Nieto. So yes, it has changed, and I think led to good things that have happened in Mexico. You now have a competitive races for Congress. You have competitive races at all the levels. I think this part of the democracy that has come about in Mexico has been very positive for the country, and I think for the region.
What we had a caller who did not want to go on the air but wanted to ask you, what do you have to say about environmental concerns and perhaps the joblessness that's resulted? You've addressed the jobs issue, but what about the environmental concerns?
Well, I'm not sure whether the caller was talking about environmental concerns. I suppose in Mexico is what the caller was referring to. And do they have the precise standards that we do? No. But have they raised their standards significantly? Yes. They have raised them very significantly. And when we look at the environment in Mexico and you look at the environmental standards in a country like China, they're infinitely higher in Mexico. You only have to have traveled to Mexico as I did in the early 1990s at the time NAFTA was first being considered, and go there today to see the difference. Every car now has a catalytic converter, and the air is so much cleaner today. It's a very high altitude, so they have a significant problem with air quality there, but it's so much cleaner today than it was then. So they've made real progress. Is there more to be done? Of course there's more to be done, as there is here in the United States.
Congressman Jim Colby is with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about the 20th anniversary of the passage of NAFTA. Does NAFTA have an expiration date, or what was the chronology of how long it would be in effect?
It's in effect until one side could cancel it, one side or the other could cancel it, but there is no expiration date for NAFTA or virtually any trade agreement that we enter into bilaterally or regionally like this one, or multilaterally as we do with the World Trade Organization. Those are all trade agreements that are there to last. The most recent ones we've adopted have been with Colombia, with Korea, and with Panama, and they're there permanently. I mean, there are provisions for cancellation of these agreements, but they would have to be canceled by one side or the other through a process of notification. So, no, they're in effect. Going into effect took several years because certain provisions, the ones that were the hardest either for Mexico or Canada or for the United States, we gave longer periods of time for those to be put in effect so that they could adapt to them, they could mitigate the circumstances of those provisions. But it's completely 100% in effect at this point.
Is there an upgrade that is necessary?
Well, I think there is an upgrade that is necessary. It's a very good question, Bill, because I think there is an upgrade. The NAFTA was adopted at a time when, for example, we didn't have any of the kind of technology that we have in communications. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have a lot of these things. Plus, I think we really need to look very seriously at the immigration issue. It is part and parcel of the economic issues, and I think you do have to look at this. So I think it's time for an upgrade to look at the trade agreements and say, you know, where does it need to be improved? Where could we change this and make it better? The answer is yes, I think there could be.
Let's see if we can work a caller in here. Richard would like to speak with Congressman Jim Colby. Richard, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Jim, there are those that vehemently disagree with you about NAFTA and feel, and statistically, I think it appears that the middle class has lost something like 20 to 30% of its buying power since 1994, since Bill Clinton and your Republicans signed NAFTA. It has been, according to most experts, the greatest transference of wealth in the history of the planet, that we've sent our jobs to China. In fact, the slave labor nations bill, we didn't need to tear up the Emancipation Proclamation. What we did, we signed NAFTA. We said, you guys can go over and hire children and work them 18 hours a day. You can embrace slavery over in China or in Sri Lanka or Vietnam or Mexico. And Bill, okay, and Jim, what you have done tremendous damage to the middle class of America.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Richard. Let's let Congressman Colby respond.
Well, my response would be that this is the kind of thing we hear all the time. And what people are, I understand the concerns that people have about the changes that are taking place, but that's changes that are taking place because of globalization. It doesn't have to do necessarily with any agreement that we find. The world is changing. Things are being produced in a different way. They're being produced different places. And they're changing naturally. You cannot build a wall around the United States and say we're not going to trade with anybody. That simply doesn't make any sense, and it would certainly not benefit us to do that. Are the standards in China or Sri Lanka or other countries up to ours? No. But are they better than they were 15 years ago? By a country mile, they are improved, and they're improving all the time. And so I think that it is true certainly in the United States that there is an inequality of income, but it's not related to the trade agreements that we signed. Many of these trade agreements have been signed during this time. It's related to the general world globalization that is taking place, and that's something we have to be able to address and adapt to, but it's not due to trade agreements.
Congressman Jim Colby, thank you for spending part of your day with us. Thanks a lot. Good to talk with you again.
Thank you. It's great talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
A lot. Jim Colby with us on The Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mark Sykes is up next of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. We'll talk with Dr. Sykes right after this. Please join us for our special program, Discovery Nights, during March at Biosphere 2. On selected Saturdays in March, Discovery Nights will offer extended hours with family-friendly stargazing and nighttime tours under the beautiful lights of the University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Also, new exhibit previews just being opened to the public for the first time. Visit b2science.org for more information and come visit today.
Hi, this is Keith from American Openings. You've heard me talk about our replacement windows. Now listen to what some of our customers have to say.
Before we had the windows replaced, we could barely see out of them.
My windows were single pane, costing me more money and energy.
We called American Openings. They came out, measured all of our windows. There weren't going to be any gimmicks, no big surprises at the end.
He told us about the warranty and the process of the work.
When they said they'd guarantee it for life, I was sold. It was definitely a seamless scheduling process.
They installed these in one day, and I didn't think it was possible.
There was no drywall damage. There was no stucco damage on the outside of our home. No problems whatsoever with any of the custom orders that we needed done.
Everything went super smooth, and they did not have to go in and restucco anything.
They said what they were going to do, and they did it.
They really improved the looks of my home. I love them.
The choice for replacing your windows is clear. American Openings, Arizona's window manufacturer, 664-1202, or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
This is exactly how you found him. Mr. Harper, do you mind if Dr. Watson has a look at him?
Not at all.
Thank you.
One of the lumbar vertebrae, the third vertebrae.
Thank you. Simple as ABC, isn't it?
Not all things are as easy as ABC, but there are many ailments that can be treated with chiropractic care.
Hi, this is Dr. Watson with Chiropractic USA. Did you know that chiropractic care can help with migraine headaches and high blood pressure? With natural chiropractic care, we go to the root cause of your headaches and high blood pressure without the side effects of other costly treatments. At Chiropractic USA, we can also help with dizziness and equilibrium problems because 85% of the nerves that help us adapt to our environment are behind your neck at the base of the skull. If you want a natural alternative to your health challenges, call Chiropractic USA for an appointment at 818-7788. In most cases, referrals are not needed unless you're a VA veteran. Chiropractic USA for the well-adjusted life. 818-7788.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning. I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a perfect time of year to go over to Silver City and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visit the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. It's only three and a half hours east of Tucson. Enjoy yourself while you're over there. You can find out about the great things to do and places to visit and places to stay by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. The great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge. There's a whole list there of a couple of dozen great places to stay over there, so that will not be a problem. But check it out, Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. We welcome now to the Buckmaster Show Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and Director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Dr. Sykes is kind enough to join us on the show every month. He's one of two dozen contributors we're very proud of on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Sykes, how are you?
Just fine. Great to be here, Bill.
Did you see the movie Gravity?
I did,
mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it.
And you did.
Yeah.
Now, the space junk that kind of hits the space station and then blah, 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 lost. And
Bad things happen.
Yeah. How realistic is that?
Well, if there was a satellite in the right orbit that got broken up or fell apart, like it did, then, yeah, it could be a bad day. Uh-huh. Those orbits are avoided. You know, we don't put the space station in a place where if something got broken up that it would be, you know, hammered like that.
We try to avoid garbage alley.
But there's a risk when satellites are launched. They put rockets on them to send boosters back down into the Earth's atmosphere. You know, there's a lot of efforts to try to avoid garbage from accumulating up in space because it's valuable real estate.
It could be very dangerous.
It could be.
NASA announcing recently a bonanza of over 700 newly discovered planets outside of our solar system. I guess this it was from the planet hunting Kepler telescope made these discoveries?
Yes, it's been quite a bonanza. They were pulling more data out of the data that they'd taken, finding multiple systems in there. So many planets around a star, and a lot of them were, almost all of them, were smaller than the planet Neptune.
And they, really, since this search has begun, they've come up with about 1,700, the number of planets. And when you think about it, 20 years ago, astronomers had not found any planets circling stars other than the ones revolving around the sun.
Yeah, in 1996, we had the Division for Planetary Science Conference of the American Astronomical Society here in Tucson. I was running that along with Steve Larson at the U of A, and we were both at the U of A at the time. And on the agenda was the first planet to be discovered that didn't go away when somebody else tried to look at it. And so it's been actually less than 20 years since we've had reliable exoplanets in the bag.
And there is this controversy that continues about what indeed is a planet. It all started with your friend Pluto, and of course that's one of your areas.
Your friend and mine.
Your friend and mine. A lot of your expertise is about Pluto. I mean, you've done all sorts of research about Pluto. You've determined the temperature of Pluto, and I think I've asked you a million times what the temperature is. I guess the answer is depends on
if you're in the tropics or up at the higher latitudes.
What part of Pluto are you on? But Pluto, is it a planet?
Absolutely.
It is.
Now, some people don't think so. The International Astronomical Union decided that Pluto wasn't a planet, and they called it a dwarf planet, and they said dwarf planets aren't planets, which is linguistically interesting. But the problem with their definition, which involves an object being large enough to clear a material out of its orbit, is that it's really not very easily extensible to these new planets that are being discovered around other stars. A lot of them we can't determine whether or not they would fit the IU definition, and many of them are far enough away from the star, because you have to get bigger and bigger and bigger the further away you are from your star in order for the IU definition to work, or for you to be a planet under the IU definition. And so a lot of things that we would just normally think of, oh yeah, that's an exoplanet. Well, it's an exo thing, you know. So it was really designed just to try to put, you know, Pluto and smaller objects in their places and keep the eight planets in our own solar system. But it doesn't. It kind of falls apart as we discover more and more of these other solar systems.
And their definition of a planet is what?
Whose?
The international, the IAU.
That's clearing the orbit thing.
Okay.
My definition of a planet, which I published, which a lot of people sign on to independently, is that it's large enough to be round. Orbits a star large enough to be round.
End of story.
And the reason why that's neat is that, having looked at a lot of objects in our own solar system, that once an object gets to be big enough to be round by its own gravity, geology turns on. Mm-hmm. And when we go into study other worlds, we're looking for what are their properties, what are they like, you know, what are their characteristics. And so if we want to group things together and say these are planets, they have planetary properties, we're talking about Earth-like things, you know, like mountains or geology or, you know, atmospheric processes. And none of that really happens until you get big enough to be round.
And why are we finding now, you know, I mentioned 1,700 additional planets we have found in the last 20 years. Why is it because of the optics being so much better with the telescope? Is that how we're able to
launch the right experiment? Kepler was a great, you know, mission, well designed to go out and stare at thousands and thousands of stars over a long period of time to look for little wiggles in their actually in this case they're looking for transits. So they're looking for the planet to pass in front of the star and for the light to dim a little bit, you know, and then later on you see it dim again and you see it dim again, and so you're able to say, ah, there's something that's moving in front of that star.
Well, I think the IAU ought to just take your advice about a planet.
Oh, on everything.
Very, very simply put about what a planet is, and especially as we continue to discover more and more of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Dr. Mark Sykes, thank you very much from the Planetary Science Institute. I'm a member, and I always urge people to go to psi.edu.
Yes.
I was going to say ORG. No. Yeah. But, you know, if you do Planetary Science Institute Google, it will get you there eventually. Mark, good to see you. Thanks.
Great to be here, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan Better Water, Pure and Simple. Mark Sykes, along with all of our in-studio guests, enjoy a nice, cool, chilled bottle of Culligan when they are visiting with us here on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8, then the Daily Double Show, our new talk show, is on from 8 to 9. Then Rosemary Brandt, Ace producer, and myself will be back with you with our Tuesday edition, 12:04 of the Buckmaster Show. Until then, we wish you a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.